Yo, what's up? It's Overslept, Chris Laker. That's me. It is Wednesday, 11:25 a.m. Just getting out of bed. And let's see, on Twitter, I had a tweet regarding yesterday's podcast. I was wondering about different religions towards the end of yesterday, about what I should try. And Jason tweeted at me, "You could be Rastafarian. I heard they have a few perks." I think he's talking about they smoke weed. Plus, reggae beats out anything in hymnal. Absolutely true. Now, Rastafarian. I'm not gonna read the whole Wikipedia page. I should have done this ahead of time, but I feel like it ruins the show if I do any kind of work. Now, let me. It's long. There's a lot of stuff. Music, reggae. That's good. I don't see anything about weed. Let's just go. Jah Rastafari is a monotheist worshiping a singular god whom they call Jah. I dig that right up front. They also have hats. That's a thing that I like. I like a religion with hats. I think those, you know, those kind of floppy, like Jamaica hats. I don't know if that's... You can definitely say, listen, I'm a Rastafarian now. I like Jah in the King James Bible. So I guess it's just still God, like the Jesus God. Rastafari Jah is a form of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. Yeah, this sounds pretty good. I like that. I'll check it out. Maybe I'll give it a go. It sounds pretty good, but I'm gonna have to read more about it off the podcast. Thank you, Jason. Anybody, maybe one of you people are in a religion, and whatever that is when you get somebody in. You could recruit me and score some points, you know, with your church. I could be convinced easily. I'm lost soul. Got 2 reviews on iTunes. I was very happy to see this. Let me see. This guy, it doesn't really matter because your iTunes name is just like nothing to do with anything. So you'll know. Sabers, I don't know, some whatever this guy's name is, assuming, or ladies can write iTunes reviews too, of course. That's the age we live in. Oddly entertaining. That is the best I could hope for. I think that's the headline here. Is oddly entertaining. 5 stars. So right there. Okay, thank you. I really like the show. Isn't edited. No problem. My pleasure to not edit. It's just raw and strange thoughts recorded daily. I am hooked. Well, was this review helpful? I mean, iTunes, I'm saying this review was helpful. Thanks for the feedback. Okay. Well, that's a great review. I enjoy it. Because I can't expect people to write, like, this show is the best show, because it's not. But oddly entertaining. I think that is that's good. I'm doing something right if I'm oddly entertaining. And then the second one was just Dig. That's the headline. Dig. 5 stars. Boom. Heard you recently on Roundtable of Gentlemen. Dig your voice. I just finished the first episode and excited to see where this leads. You and I both. Dig my voice. That's good. You know, you gotta lay a base of cigarette smoking. It starts in your youth because you got to get those vocal cords while they're young. This is how you get a nice broadcasting voice. You start smoking somewhere around the age of 12. And you keep that going for a very long time. You got to quit eventually. But just keep... Point is, start young and then take it to the point of where it hurts a lot, and you keep thinking about how you're going to die, and then you quit smoking. I don't smoke anymore, and I haven't smoked in a few years, and that is fantastic. I miss the cigarettes. I miss the act of smoking. But here in New York, cigarettes cost $14 a pack. That's why I quit, because I couldn't afford it. And nobody can afford it. So everybody's asking everybody else for cigarettes. And that's what drives me crazy, because I still hang outside. Like, I'm out at bars or comedy clubs a lot, you know, almost every night. And the whole reason it was hard for me to stop smoking is because I would get social anxiety at those places. As soon as I felt uncomfortable, I would have the escape of going outside and smoking. And a lot of times there'd be a bunch of other people out there smoking. Less people smoking now. At least less people I know. A lot less. Everybody smoked. Now nobody. But I still just, when I feel uncomfortable, I just go outside and stand there, and I'll look at my phone or something. But it's not like you need to go outside to look at your phone. But I'll just go outside and stand there. I don't give a shit. And if one of my friends out there smoking, I still have some friends that smoke, I'll hang out with them. I'll talk with them, and I'll see how many people just come, strangers. Just, they want to buy a cigarette. They want you to give them a cigarette. Even the buying, I wanted nothing to do with that. I don't understand why I gotta interact with a stranger and get into this transaction of I just don't want anything to do with it. And I always want my cigarettes. I don't want your dollar, and they wave around that dollar like they're some kind of Texas oil millionaire, and there's no way you could turn down a whole dollar for a cigarette. It is above the value that you paid for, but it's not in the sense. It's just, I don't. And I would be like, no, I only have a few left, and I don't want to buy another pack. And I just, and then whoever's trying to buy your cigarette will look at you with such like disgust, and just like you opened up a store and put a whites only sign in. Like I discriminated against them. No. I just don't. You know, this would be a white person acting like I discriminated against them. I'm sure I did this to people of all different ethnicities. But I'm saying the images that I'm in my mind right now is a white. I didn't want to do it. I just don't want to sell cigarettes. That's not what I do. I don't sell Lucy's. I'm not a bodega. A man got killed doing that. Instead, on Eric Gardner selling Lucy's. It's dangerous. It's illegal. I don't do it. So that is the reason I don't. So I was out. My friend Ian smokes. We were walking down. He smokes walking down the street, which is crazy. And he buys Lucy, so he'll only have two cigarettes and walked. And people think if you walk down the street smoking, you're the richest man in town and you must have cigarettes for the whole village. Fuck that. No thank you. Talking about people on the street, this reminds me, because I just had a dream about this. About me walking down the street. Because it happens a lot. When I go down the street, people will feel like they should, strangers, people I don't know, feel like, because I think I look, people tell me I look mad when I'm just walking right? Like my resting face is angry. Like just when I think I'm not doing nothing, I look pissed. But yet people still think that they should comment on my hair, which I don't even understand because I don't think it's that big of a deal. I have long hair. But I live in a city where there's a bunch of people with long hair. And at a time where it's not that unusual. And people will feel like it's okay to yell like things at me. I guess they're drunk. It's usually at night, but sometimes it's during the day. And they'll comment either on my beard or my hair, just like, and they'll call me Jesus Christ, but they'll say it mockingly. And calling me Jesus Christ, I guess, on the surface is a compliment, right? Jesus, very, at least the images that we're giving of Jesus, which are that are not accurate. You know, they're not supposed to be accurate. We know that. Jesus didn't look like that dude in those pictures. But the guy in the picture, handsome, in shape, very in shape, and also, you know, looks like a cool guy. And people worship that guy. But they say it in a mocking tone. Like, you look like Jesus and you're an asshole. So it's a confusing. I don't know if it's an insult, but I get mad. I do get mad. I'll be like, hey, fuck you. So it'll be like, hey, you look like this really ripped, handsome guy that people love all over the world. And I'll just be like, fuck you. Don't comment on me. And I don't want positive or negative. That's why I'm totally down with this. When women talk about catcalling and shit, I don't know what it's like to be a woman, but I get why. I don't want any strangers ever talking to me. I don't mind asking for directions. I will always stop and give people directions, proper directions. When I was a kid, I was an asshole. I'd give people the wrong directions. It was my favorite thing to do, but that was an asshole kid thing to do. I did not do that past 10th grade, I don't think, because it's mean. But I always thought, I don't mind people asking for directions. I get that a lot. I don't know why I get that either if I look so angry. I should say that too, because people will I get asked if I'm okay a lot, and then I'll say yes, and then I'll get, are you sure? The are you okay is bad enough, but the are you sure that you don't believe me? But I get asked that a lot. But then people will stop me when I have headphones in, when there's other people around, they stop me and ask me for directions. And that I don't mind, even if I got the headphones in, because I feel like that's them. That's the ultimate compliment. They're stopping me and saying, you know these streets. And I do. I know where everything's at. So I give directions like a motherfucker. Like, good. Guy asked me the other day how to get to 9/11. No, he didn't say it. He said Trade Center. No, he said Chamber Street. He was even being that discreet. He was saying Chamber Street. And we were on a train that was going down there. And I was like, oh, this... The last stop was the Trade Center. I was like, well, the last stop, Trade Center. That's Chamber Street. I was like, where are you trying to go to? And he said, Trade Center. Look, it says right there. He's like, I just came in from Boston and I wanted to see it. I said, sure, of course. It's an amazing mall there now. I haven't gone down there since it took them forever to rebuild it, as many of you are probably aware. But now, since it's been rebuilt, my mom works in the Freedom Tower. But I haven't gone down there. And I went down there to meet my parents, and this mall is like this future mall. It looks like the future. It's pretty nice, you know. And there's an Apple store in there, and a Kiehl's. If you enjoy, you know, any of those stores that have soaps and lotions, they're all in there. So that is we turned to positive. Out of 9/11. They were just making a foundation for a new Kiehl's. And there it is. I'm sorry if any of you... I think it's fun to make light of 9/11. And I feel like a lot of people do. You know, in the I don't have a lot of 9/11 jokes in the act in my stand-up routine, but I had one that I was doing for work. I worked on for a while, and I remember it was the anniversary of 9/11. I was like, oh, this is the perfect day to do the joke. And joke, everybody laughed at this joke, but on the anniversary of 9/11, no one laughed at that joke. And that's what I learned. Don't do 9/11 jokes on 9/11. It's the only day. You know, like if it's Halloween and you got Halloween jokes, perfect. Leading up to end of day, you're solid. 9/11. Just keep that out. I ain't writing any more 9/11 jokes, though. People have done it. You know. Not like, I don't know. I was in Queens. And, I don't know anybody that died in the towers or anything, so I should probably stop making fun of it. Yeah. Sorry, now, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm not just trying to push boundaries of language like Milo. That guy got taken down. That's sort of political, but I find it interesting in general. That whole idea of because the language of pushing language and then finding where that is, because that's what that guy didn't stand for anything. I don't like him. I don't like that he sent trolls after what's her name, the woman from Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones, who I think is very funny, and all that stuff. I don't like that dude. But his whole thing, it didn't seem like he believed in anything. It just was about, I'm going to say the worst thing, and whoever likes the worst thing that I can say will be my fans. And then I can keep saying the word. I'll say the worst thing every time. And then he found the line. Pedophilia. Can't support it. I don't support it. I do think about it. Not think about it like think about pedophiles. I think about what that, you know, why. Well, yeah, Louis C.K. had a funny bit when he hosted Saturday Live about it's the worst thing you can do and people still do it. That's what I think about. I thought about it before that bit. I think a lot of people have. But he said on Saturday Live now it's dead to everybody. All comedians. But you know what? People get uncomfortable when you bring up pedophilia. You kind of have to be Louis C.K. level comedian for people to get on board at all. So best for him to do it. But isn't that, it is interesting. Like, why? Because it's like if I was allergic to peanuts. I love peanut butter, but I ain't fucking with that. You know what I mean? But it's like you can't. I mean, I've had addiction issues, but I've never had like that kind of addiction of where your addiction is the most horrific thing you could do to a person. It's and then I wonder about, you know, I talk about this on This Week in Jackin' on, so I won't get to it. If you listen to This Week in Jackin', you hear all about my wonderings about the why pedophile, you know, about what that's like. But it's interesting that that is, you know, hopefully that holds on. Maybe that we hold on to that that's the line, pedophilia. Because it's bad. It's a bad thing. I think we can all agree. And, you know, that ruined that. I don't know if that ruined that guy's career. See, it seems like people forget quickly. And that guy will probably get a reality show or start doing stand-up or something. But that's, everybody just wants to be famous, including me. I get it. Who doesn't want to be loved by everybody? And if you can't be loved, at least known. At least known, you want people to know who you are. But then you see famous. Like, I go out on tour with Mike Birbiglia, and he's kind of famous. He's famous. Like, I think, you know, on my level, to me, everywhere, anytime we go out to eat, or we go to a place, people know who he is. they tell him how much they love him. Now, it's not like he's Tom Cruise where he'd get mobbed, but everywhere he goes, people, and it looks fucking annoying. Yet I still want it. I want it so bad. He likes it, though. He seems to like it. But, you know, I would imagine he's not going to talk to me, a guy that's not famous, trying to be famous, and complain to me about his fame. He's not, he's sensitive, I think, to other people's feelings. But I see it. And I see it. I'm like, oh, it looks like kind of annoying, but I want that money, and I want everybody to love me. So I want the cashier at the Chinese restaurant to be tell me they know who I am and they love me. So I don't know. All right. Hey, we made it to 20 minutes. This episode was not a stammering mess. I'll say that. That's a positive thing. All right. So this is the end of today. And, of course, I'll see you tomorrow. So no big deal. This will be, I'll be back here tomorrow. And I like talking to you every day. All of you. And, hey, keep writing those iTunes reviews. Share this with your friends if you feel like it. You know, you don't have to just yet. Maybe we'll go another week. All right. Okay, I'm going to get out of here. We love you.